January 26, 1977, the Key West Cigar Factory.
I was going through all this stuff and reading it's right here at my fingertips.
And this is a national. What issue of that? Oh, 1971. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I can get a hold of that. Yeah. And
We don't have much of a write up at the cigar factory itself. That was deleted somehow. This was Mr. Coleman inside of the factory.
Oh, yes. And so Mr. Colmer's been working for you since the beginning, or?
Oh, yeah.
How did you ever find him?
Everybody knows who the cigar makers are, you know.
Uh-huh. And he was interested in part-time work? He
well,
retired?
He had retired, and then he came back to get a new part-time.
What?
This is the one that was yesterday. This is the...
Oh.
In the Herald.
Oh,
this
I can get a hold of this. This is in the Miami?
Yeah. No, but it's the Keys edition.
Oh, okay. I can get a hold of this. I think the McCallums get this. Great. You opened in 1965. Whatever possessed you to go about opening the cigar factory?
Yeah. Terribly interested. I've been in Key West since I was a child. And I'm more of a conk, I guess, than the people who were born here. This is what happens when you don't keep them. I keep taking it out to show for the Do you have time to wait while I find it?
Yeah, I have an appointment at 10, but, I have to be back there by 9.
Just go ahead and ask the question.
Okay.
Then.
Well, where do you get your tobacco?
Well, I import it from Brazil, Honduras, Colombia, Chile, through Mexico, and it's planted with Havana seed and grown by the expatriates who used to grow it in Cuba.
Are there the different tobaccos? Do you make different kinds of cigars?
17
And the difference is in the tobacco and the size?
Sometimes the size and shapes, of course, make them taste different.
Uh-huh.
And we have long fillers and blends and different tobaccos with the wrapping. Clavos, Sumatra, Maduro.
Were these all different kinds that were made here in the past? And Mr. Coleman knew how to make those?
Oh, yes, he learned when he was in his early teens.
How old is he now?
He's 82.
Oh, no wonder.
He's the finest cigar maker, I believe, left.
Really? Does he not like pictures taken? And
because there were flash bulbs flashing so often that it takes about 10 minutes for your eyes to get back to normal.
Oh,
and being
yeah.
that age, too, you know, we just have to respect his wishes on that.
Right.
It's, you know, if you were sewing and then just being startled every 5 minutes by a flash bulb, it was getting to be pretty, any close work is hard to, take flash
right.
bulbs.
Do you have photographs that you have on file that you have taken of him?
Yes.
I wonder if it'd be possible to get copies.
Oh, sure. I'd be glad
to
give you copies. That'll take me a while. I couldn't get them.
Okay, yeah. Well, I could, if you would send them in the mail to me, I would pay for the mailing cost and any duplication cost, because I'd love to have them on file for the archive.
Okay.
He also doesn't like people asking him questions anywhere.
Well, he's very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't mind answering them, but it's very hard to hear him. He's very quiet. He's been that way all his life. Many of my cigar makers were exactly the opposite, you know, and would play host, you know, to all the people who wanted to watch. I had to close the door there because at his age, and it was and the flash bulbs and the questions being fired at them and the children eating ice cream.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
So people can see.
Right.
This way, and I just ask them not to take pictures unless they ask him. If he's forewarned, you know, then he usually doesn't mind.
That's great. Yeah. Well, he's the only one that you have left? Or?
Well, I have two or three that come in when they can. But he's the only, he's my only steady one right now. I'm still on the trail of a few. Takes all my spare time is tracking down cigar makers.
Right. Now, do you export your cigars at all, or do you do most of your selling right here?
I have mail orders, but it's grown into quite a business.
That's great.
That keeps us working at top speed, day in and day out.
How many cigars can he make in a day?
Well, Mr. Coleman now makes about 150, sometimes 100, sometimes 150, up to 200.
That's in an eight-hour day, or?
No, from about 8:30 in the morning till 2:30.
So that's
This is an approximate because they don't work by hours. They work with, you know, like piecework.
Right.
They always have done that.
Mm-hmm. Well, a good cigar maker, say who's in his prime, how many cigars?
Well, that again depends on what they're rolling. I know a cigar maker who can make 500 blended cigars a day. He just rolls them out like an assembly line. You wouldn't believe it to see him working. But he doesn't make Mr. Comer's type of the long filler that require all, you know, the special talent he has, I guess. You know, he's a perfectionist. Most of them are.
Yeah.
But there's also room for the other ones who can roll the blended ones together, you know, pretty fast.
Right. Are there
because then I can sell them. I don't have him right now.
Right.
And then you can sell them a little cheaper to the people too. You know, these are expensive cigars, and one of the reasons is because it takes so long to make them.
Right.
And it takes so long to find a cigar maker. It would be a marvelous. Then some physically handicapped people would learn it.
Right.
I would be more than happy to teach anyone like that who really, you know, was serious about learning. I have transient people come in and then take a lot of time and energy teaching them, and then they decide to leave in a month to travel on.
Yeah,
so that makes you very cautious when someone says, how long will it take me to learn to make a cigar? You know, I think some people think it's easy to pick up tobacco and just roll a cigar on your way through life, you know, which isn't it's all tied up with the Treasury Department and licenses and so forth.
Well, when you roll a cigar, do you take the total leaf and roll it?
Take a binder leaf. And in that binder leaf, you roll whatever is going to be into that cigar, whether it's a blend or a long filler. It's a long filler, it's light and dark leaves. It's rolled into this binder leaf. Then it's put into a mold.
Yeah.
And it's pressed. I wish Mr. Coleman was here. You could see
it.
We can go in there later, I'll show you.
And,
Then later it's trimmed, taken out of the mold, and then the outer leaf is put on. The outer leaf has been dampened the day before and stripped of its stem, so that each leaf has two sides, the right hand and the left hand. And then that's the outer leaf.
You have to be careful then about the tobacco being in case, or what they call, you know, it can't be too brittle and it can't be too wet. It's got to be just
that's
right.
That's another reason why Key West was the best place in the world to make cigars, because of our natural humidity.
I know. Well,
When the factory was full, you know, and I had four or up to six men working in there all the time, and I could always tell it was a cold, dry day because you'd hear the knives go. You know, they get very annoyed with it because the tobacco dries right out and breaks.
And then it's pretty much impossible to make a cigar.
Oh, well, it eventually, you know, you can, but it's It's one of the little annoyances, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. Can you think of anything else that I should know about the cigars right now?
Oh, and then when they're finished, they come out tied in bundles like that on this little, on a little rack that they call donkeys.
Donkeys. Why did they get that name?
I think it's because, I'm not certain, but I think it's because it resembles a horse.
Uh-huh.
You know what they call a horse, the carpenter's horse? Like,
oh, right.
Like that.
Right.
And anyway, it holds. With, they put the ribbon here, and then so many on the bottom, and the next row, until it comes to be 50, and then they tie the bundle.
Okay.
Then they stay out here and dry. Because as I told you, the outer leaf was damp, and that's the only part that's damp.
How long do they have to dry?
Well, that too depends on the weather and the type of the tobacco.
Uh-huh.
The Maduro sometimes takes a little longer. Usually overnight or 2 days is enough.
Okay. And if you would sell them then in bundles of 50 in a...
No, we sell them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We sell them singly, in boxes, in assorted packages.
Where do you get your boxes now?
Tampa.
Tampa.
We did have a box factory here, but that went the way of the cigar industry, you know.
Beautiful
box factory on Caroline Street.
And so now you have to get them all from Tampa.
Yeah. They're still handmade.
Uh-huh.
They're not all cedar anymore because it's almost impossible to be able to buy them.
Right. Now, about the equipment that you have in there, are there specialized names for each of the things? Like the table where they work?
The table is known as a table.
Just the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the
molds are, or boards, sometimes they're called boards.
Uh-huh.
That's sort of an in term for
these
them.
These are all molds right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
In all different sizes.
They've slipped into the antique class, and it's...
They don't use these kind anymore.
Oh, yeah, but you can't get them. I right now need Panatela boards. And
you can't get them?
No, I've been searching high and low. Go to all the antique shows now. I used to be able to go in someone's attic always and find a few molds.
Oh, God. Huh. And the press, how did you acquire that? Did you...
Oh, well, that's standard equipment in a cigar factory. I have a number of them.
Uh-huh. So you can just buy them new now? Or,
Oh, I don't know. I have enough of those.
Right.
People want to buy them all, and people try to take them sometimes, and I won't sell them. But
oh, no.
Yeah, I've had a couple disappear.
That's awful.
Yeah. And that large mold, leaning on the Indian,
uh-huh,
is one from Havana.
Oh.
It makes this large cigar. We made these for Christmas. This was standard size cigar.
People would smoke that?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Comer said that he used to make several boxes of these on special order a month.
It looks like a submarine.
It does.
Huge.
Yeah, it does.
It's about almost 12 inches long and
about
3 or 4 inches thick. That's incredible. Can you imagine?
They used to use them in Cuba for political gifts, you know, during
right.
the works.
Right. So the other thing I want to ask is that if, you know, the festival does turn out that we're going to try to bring up some people from Key West, and Mr. Colmer doesn't feel he wants to travel, do you think there might be another cigar maker?
There might be.
A younger one that would
be
willing.
When will it be?
Labor Day weekend. It's not till the end of August.
Well, if Mr. Colmer thinks that he doesn't want to go, you know, then I'll see if I can get one of the other men.
That would be good. Well, I'll keep in contact with you. I need to, could you just tell me on the tape your name and mailing address, and then I'll have it on tape.
Okay, it's Eleonora.
Eleonora.
W-A-L-S-H.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's Key West Cigar Factory.
Key West.
Pirates Alley.
Pirates Alley, Key West.
Key West, 3304.
And do you have a phone in case I need to call?
294-3470.
And it's 305
area code.
Okay, good. Because,
years old. This is what makes our blends. We take the long fillers.
It looks kind of like a cider press. You put the
yeah.
the tobacco in here, it shreds it, and comes out in the bottom.
Like this.
Oh, yeah.
And this is our blend for the Pyot Jolly. And the
oh, fantastic. And what is this tobacco?
That has to be put in there. This is the long filler pieces that he doesn't use while he's rolling. That's just scrap that we have to weigh it and be sure that there's, you know, we don't have, so that we can account for all the tobacco that's brought.
Right. Is there a certain percentage of different kinds of tobacco you put in here to make a blend?
Yes. You try to get a certain amount of each kind and makes one blend, and you leave something out, it makes another blend. And just like following a little recipe.
Oh, great. Well, let's see. I hope Mr. Colmer...